3 John verses 5 through 8 read, "Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am Pastor Bryce. Today I have with me Pastor Mike. Mike, thanks for being here.
Pastor Mike Shouse, that's me.
Pastor Mike, the legend.
Truly. In his own mind.
In his own mind. And according to fans of one particular band.
500 monthly listeners.
Yeah, so that actually is not bad. Mike was part of a band.
Yeah, I don't think they could pick me out of a crowd. I'm the best. Okay. I think they like the singer.
But you supported it to make it happen.
I was so just a musician. That's right. Whatever. It did get me a wife out of it, though.
Oh, so that's what counts.
Yeah,
that's what counts.
She's a lovely wife. I love her. So it's,
yeah, that worked out so great.
And chase your dreams, right? Pursue your dreams. You never know. Yeah. Try things.
Yeah, and I feel like it makes for a great two truths and a lie. You know, if you have to play that party game or something, just an interesting little fact about you. Well. Today, we have come amazingly to the end of our three-year rotation of quarterly focuses. We started this podcast at the beginning of them, and we have worked through now 12 quarterly focuses. We're here at the end of the last one, which is on missions. This will be the very last podcast until the new year. So if you're listening to this, we'll take a brief break for the holidays, but we'll be back at the beginning of January, and we'll be starting that three-year rotation over with the first quarterly focus, which will be the Bible. So I'm excited to get into that. Our topics are going to be slightly different, of course, than they were the first time we went through, so that will be awesome. But so we do want to talk about missions today, and we've talked a lot about motivations and missions, and we've talked about goers and how to know if you're called to be a goer in missions. We are landing the plane by talking about something that's probably the most relevant for most of us, and that is how to be a good sender. If we want to support those who go cross-culturally with the gospel, how do we support them well? How do we send them well? I really just have two points here, and I've got some questions for you, Mike, on these points. The first point I've titled Trust, and this is a takeaway for me anyways. It's one of the main takeaways I found in Andy Johnson's helpful little book, Missions, that's out in the foyer. Helpful little takeaway, overall takeaway from that book is if you vet missionaries well and find ones you really trust, then you can wholeheartedly support them. So instead of having a situation where you're sending out missionaries, but you have all this reserve and uncertainty, and do we really want to give them extra money? Will they use the money well? Instead of having that situation, if you vet missionaries well, find ones you can really trust, then you can just throw yourself into their support. Of course, with some monitoring, some reason, we're not naive, but to be able to really trust the missionaries we send, I think makes for a healthy relationship. Here's what Andy Johnson says on pages 85 and 86 of his book. Treating love and mutual respect as the basis for missions partnerships is not just a prudent idea, it's a biblical one. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, we see wonderful glimpses of a healthy long-term missionary partnership based on trust and relationship. And that, of course, this is my comment, but that, of course, is between Paul and the Philippians. He quotes Philippians 1:8, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." It was a bond characterized by long-term commitment, he says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, Philippians 1:5. Paul's letter drips with love and mutual concern and committed long-term support. That's a noble aim for us in our missionary partnerships. Like Paul in the Philippians, we also want to look back on years of partnership and say with joy and confidence, "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Philippians 4:20. So we don't have to police our missionaries if we have missionaries we can trust. So that leads us then to this question, which is why you're here, Mike. The question is, how do we vet missionaries well to find ones we can trust? And maybe a connected question to that would be, how do we develop trust even with the missionaries that we already have?
Oh, man. Good questions. All right.
We joked beforehand that we really need Dan here for this question. Like, God's gifted Dan. I mean, all of us elders are accountable and responsible for missions oversight, but Dan's been such a big help. And usually when we are vetting missionaries, it goes through Dan first.
Mm-hmm. He's the head of the missions committee, and he brings us a list of missionaries. Oh. A large list.
Yes, a large list.
he's really good at finding people, you know. So
I think, honestly, Dan's done such a good job of it that even as I'm reading Andy Johnson, we really can trust the missionaries that we have. I mean, it goes through Dan. All of us elders receive their missionary applications. So we're part of that process. We're reading. We're looking for any red lights, any red flags, any issues. But Dan does a pretty good job vetting things ahead of time, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything to add to that in terms of how we vet our missionaries.
I was just thinking personally, like, who are the missionaries that we support, that my wife and I support over the years, and how do we get to that place where we supported them? And they're always people that we knew ahead. Like, I'm thinking of a guy and his wife that we've supported for, you know, oh my gosh, 20-something years. You know, we knew them as college kids. You know, he was single as a college kid before he ever went into ministry, but he was already like just missions focused. Like, we would have, you know, over for dinner once a week, and he would always invite, without us knowing, without my wife knowing, like two other guys that he was pouring into, you know, or three guys. And she's like, I didn't make food for, you know, four college guys, but it always worked out. So it was like, this is a guy that had proven himself over the years just with missions. And then, you know, as he got married and went into ministry, it was a no-brainer. Of course I'm going to support this guy. He's been doing missions forever. You know, I've seen his heart. I know him well. You know what I mean? I know her well. You know, now we know them as a couple. And so it was easy for us. And that's really all the missionaries, you know, that we have supported over the years are people that we've know and know well. So,
yeah, we're kind of in a unique spot just this very moment, even as a local church, where we've had certain missionaries that we've supported for decades. I mean, the Davises just came, and like they said, I guess it's been 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
30 years? My whole lifetime's worth of supporting the Davises. So we know the Davises, same with Chakravarti. We have missionaries we know very well. But God's been really gracious to us as a church, even financially. And we've really wanted to invest our finances and not put them in a handkerchief. And so Dan's been helpful in this too, but all of us as elders, we've brought on new missionaries. Part of that's just been there have been new people seeking support as they do missions. And so now we're in a unique spot where there's quite a number of missionaries we brought on just in the recent past. I mean, thinking over the last couple of years. And so we do trust them. We've vetted them. We've gone through application with, you know, if you've seen our missions application, it's not light, you know. So they've gone through that. We've made sure we see eye to eye on things. But I would say I don't even personally know all these missionaries on I just don't know them on a personal level the way I do know the Davises. I know other missionaries we have. But there are several of them where I can trust them. But there's a sense in which those relationships of trust now, just like with our other missionaries, will be an ongoing thing, mm-hmm. that we build that trust as we're able to support them, pray for them, as we just see their name more often and get their updates. Which, by the way, I don't know, not everyone's aware of this, but in our foyer, Dan Gielock, of course, does a good job of every single month he gets prayer request updates from our missionaries, puts them together, staples them together, and he has them available out in the foyer for anyone who wants them. I get them electronically, but that's really helpful too.
I get them electronically too. That's how I get them.
Yeah, yeah. So that way...
So everybody doesn't get them electronically?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, I thought maybe Kathy sent those out. I didn't know.
I don't think it's sent to everyone. Okay. I could be wrong. Let us know. Do you get it electronically?
Yeah. Comment below.
There's nowhere to comment. Yeah. But let us know. I am curious. I don't think so. But that would be a really good way to just starting to get that familiarity. Because, yeah, it's built on that relationship of trust. Mm-hmm. And we're in a place where I would say several of our missionaries, we have that in a very clear way. The other ones have been vetted well, so they're not going to surprise us with any doctrine that we don't know about, but we just don't know them as well.
Even in the verse you read, there's that, you know, that element of love and trust. And so, like, I've never met the Myers, yeah, right? I've never met them, but I read their application, and I know they were recommended to us from people we trust. Dan went through the process with them, you know what I mean? Vetted them, so, you know, we trust Dan's judgment on missionaries, so it's like, okay.
In a sense, it's, I don't want to push the comparison too far, but even as we read this 3 John passage at the beginning, beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. So I don't want to push that too far. We shouldn't just go support any stranger anywhere. But in a sense, the people John was writing to, they could wholeheartedly support those really missionaries, those workers who are coming through because of John's recommendation. They came on good authority. It was John. So there still was that element of trust. And so some of our missionaries right now, it's a little bit like that. They've come on good authority. We've read their applications. We've had them recommended from people that we trust. Now we're just building that relationship with them. So trust is that first aspect. And I do want to add just also briefly, this trust is not a naivete, however you say that. We're not being naive. And we were talking about that before the podcast. We've had probably 3 missionaries in our history who we've discontinued support when things came up, just areas we would disagree and talk to them, not work out, whatever. Okay. God bless you. Discontinue support. So this isn't just, well, trust no matter what. It's trust grounded on the fact that we do believe you're doing the work and hold sound doctrinal positions. So we start with this trust. If we want to send our missionaries well, we've got to have missionaries who trust. And by God's grace, I think we do. We got 25 missionaries at Faith Bible who I trust all of them. That moves us then to the second piece of how do we send them well. If the reason trust is so important is because if you really have that sense of trust with your missionaries, you don't have to police them because that's counterproductive. You can then support them, as 3 John says, in a manner worthy of God, meaning very generously and wholeheartedly. The start of chapter 3 of Andy Johnson's book on missions has one of the saddest stories you'll ever read in your life about one of his friends who is a missionary kid. And he talked about when he was younger, he came to the U.S., I guess, on a furlough with his parents. They went to a church that was very well-meaning. And the church said, hey, we've got this missionary room where we have just like supplies, clothes, stuff, you know, for missionaries. You can come take whatever you want. So excited as a kid, he's so excited. And he walks in there and it's like broken computers, yeah, nasty old stuff. That's so sad. Mm-hmm. We don't want to support missionaries like that with the leftovers, with the dross and the grub. So we want to be generous in our support of missionaries. So that brings me to this question for you, Mike. What do you think it means practically to support our missionaries in a, quote, manner worthy of God? Mm. And how do we know if we're doing that?
That's good. You know, so I'm going to go back to these missionaries that we've supported forever. You know, I know them. I know them well. And, like, I was thinking of years ago, part of the hub church that their missions was under had a split, a very, you know, it was not a good split. It was a bad split. It got very ugly, and they kind of got in the middle of it. You know what I mean? Because they were like, which church is taking them? And so they kind of like accusations, you know how it is when churches split, false accusations everywhere, right? So my wife and I were able to go there and spend time with them, you know, up in northern Indiana where they were at, and just hang out, have coffee, kind of detox through all this stuff that was happening, you know, let them know, hey, we're 100% behind you. You know what I mean? There's a whole, they have lots of supporters, right? But just, you know, we knew what they were going through and we knew they needed, you know, somebody there. And then years later, when we found ourselves in the same situation, they were here with us, you know what I mean? Walking us through this, you know, oh my gosh, we went through this. Here's what helped us and here's what, you know what I mean? So it was just brother and brother and sister just working, doing missional life together, you know, which is what it was. I'm one of my favorite passages in the Bible here since probably 2020 has been John 13, Jesus in the upper room. I'm going to read a quote from it.
Yeah, do it.
So when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So here's Jesus sacrificially of himself, giving of himself, washing their feet. I can think of certain people. The last thing I would ever want to do is wash their feet. But here's Jesus washing their feet. This shows just the giving of himself. You know, we live in a culture where it's always, what can you do for me? You know, I mean, what are these missionaries doing for us? You know, I mean, that we should support them. No, what can we do to help them in the field? Some of these people, right? Few converts, rough. I mean, always just that struggle of community and fellowship that we take for granted here all the time. What can we do to pour into them? You know, I mean, so like, number one thing is when you get those updates from missionaries, reply to them. You know, why would you not? Like, I love replying. And I always, I hope it's not the case, but I always get the impression when I get the response back, like they don't get replies a lot. You know, it's like, okay. But you got to be involved. Like, how could you minister to your friend if you don't know what your friend's going through? Same with these missionaries. You have to know what are they going through in their lives and to know them personally. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I appreciate very much, Mike, not jumping immediately to the financial support, which is how we send them out in a manner worthy of God, sure, but it's more than just throwing money at missionaries. It is having that relationship where we can support and actually encourage them. And usually missionaries, when they're sharing, when they come here, will always say something like, "We really appreciate the financial support, but even more than that, pray for us." And, you know, so I like that encouragement and that spiritual input. I don't think that's just a cliche. I think really that's such a vital part of how we support people. Yes, the money piece, we do that. Yes. But also supporting them by just your relationship. And that does require a relationship with them. Yeah.
I remember once we sent this missionary, this is years and years ago, out in Africa, a Christmas, just like a little box of Christmas that we're thinking about you at Christmas. You know, he's a single guy who was doing missions in Africa. So we sent him like a hoodie and some deflated soccer balls. He liked to hand them out to the kids, you know, the villages, like, you know, as a way to get to know them. And still to this day, he's like, "I still remember that Christmas gift." You know, like, it's just like, I think he was at a low point and it just came at the right time. You know, you never know. So
that's awesome. And I appreciate too that those are things that obviously as a church, there are things we do. Mm-hmm. We take up offerings and we have special things we do for missionaries. But the stuff that you're saying, even on just an individual level, even if it's not something the church is officially doing, anybody listening to this could respond to an email update from any of our missionaries. Just encourage anybody here could send. We even have the addresses for the missionaries in the back of our directory. Anybody could send them something. Got to figure out how to do that internationally, but you just send them a gift, send them whatever. I appreciate that. Well, Mike, thanks so much for helping us know how to send missionaries well.
You're welcome.
He nodded, but you couldn't see it. So, well, you are listening to this. Maybe life's just been so busy, you haven't really thought about the sending of cross-cultural missionaries in which you are involved in the local church. Maybe you've been focused on other things. Maybe you've thought that's somebody else's job. You don't have a responsibility for that. Whatever the case in the past might have been, may God help us all now to think this way.